In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory. Brothers and sisters, in today's epistle, the Holy Apostle Paul urges us to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. And today we keep the feast of our beloved patron, St. Andrew, the first called of the apostles. Brothers and sisters, we have been called by God Himself, back to God Himself, through His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. We are anticipating the feast of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, of the Word becoming flesh, becoming man, in order to pave a way for man to reunite with God. The revelation of this great event and of this great fact is understood by all of creation. As Saint Athanasius has said, the self-revealing of the Word is in every dimension, above in the act of creation, below in the incarnation, in the depth, in Hades, in the breadth, throughout the world. All things have been filled with the knowledge of God. Even on the cross, he continues, he did not hide himself from sight. Rather, he made all creation witness to the presence of its maker. Let me say that again. He made all creation witness to the presence of its maker. For the Lord touched all parts of creation, he concludes, and freed them all from every deceit. Brothers and sisters, we and the whole universe have all been freed from every deceit by the author of our very lives and the author of the very universe, Jesus Christ. Everything in existence knows the presence of its creator, even if they have not yet learned his proper name, Jesus Christ. As Saint Sophroni says, there are no atheists, only people who have decided to replace God with their own egos, which is why they will justly be condemned at the Lord's return. For if they were truly ignorant, then there could be no just judgment. Yet, brothers and sisters, we have been called, like our beloved Father Andrew, by the Lord Jesus Christ, who stretched forth his own hand to us in love to lift us from the madness and lies of this passing world and to stand as beacons of light among men, burning the light of the knowledge of God and bringing it back into his ailing creation. We have been called, and we have been bought with a price. Our lives are no longer ours. In truth, they never really were, nor were they ever designed to be. God has called us according to his purpose, not our purpose, not our priorities. We err in thinking that because he's made us free, that we should be the ones to make most all of the decisions about our own lives, according to the dictates of what? Our own interests, our whims, our desires, our predilections. We live that way, as kings and queens of ourselves and of our own little imagined kingdoms. But all who have been baptized have been crucified with Christ, died and buried in those holy waters. And now it is no longer we who live, but Christ in us. And in today's epistle, St. Paul charges us to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk worthy. Are we doing it? How does he define worthy in this passage? To walk, he says, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity in the bond of peace. Not, notice, knowing lots of information about the Orthodox Church, or even reading many books about Holy Orthodoxy, as important as these things are in their right place. But I don't see those phrases in this passage from St. Paul. And I don't see either listening to endless hours of podcasts about Orthodox theology, faith, and life. Again, as important as that is in its own place. The Orthodox Christian faith, the path that Jesus Christ has set before us for us to participate in his healing and saving of the world, is one rather based in practice, practice, practice. Practice first, practice in the middle, and practice last. St. Paul continues, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." One, one, one. Brothers and sisters, there is not another church. There is not another way. There is not another path to life. There is, St. Paul says over and over, one. One body, one hope, one baptism, one faith. And this is it. This right here is the body of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who sits at the right hand of God the Father. The teaching right here proclaimed by the Holy Church sets before us the path to life. These facts should give us great courage and confidence and boldness in our walk with God. And yet, for some of us, maybe even for many of us, the truth, light, and beauty of God himself are not penetrating us as they should. Because we're not walking worthy of our calling, not walking day by day with Jesus Christ, not practicing our faith in the manner set forth by the one Holy Spirit in the one Holy Church. I wasn't sent here to the Western Slope to flatter you. Forgive me. The beauty of all these adornments in our church today mean less than nothing if we are not also and primarily adorning our hearts with beautiful things. Yet some of us are quick to anger or swaggering around like little kings, rank with pride, or filled with a judgmental spirit, eager to correct others and to opine to them about our opinions, rather than to correct ourselves, or we are overcome and beset by depression and anxiety, which is lack of faith, or we're full of lustful passions, putting few to no checks on the operation of depraved imaginations, or given to much cursing when Holy Scripture says, "Let no unwholesome word come from your mouth." Brothers and sisters, the pattern of the church is to clean out our lives of rank sin and passions during the catechumenate. All of the fathers of the 4th century who established the path of the catechumenate say with one voice, the purpose of the catechumenate is the amendment of life. Or as St. Gregory of Nyssa says, the first entrance to the good is to depart from that which is opposed to it. And then, thereafter, after our holy baptism, to work on refining the image of God within us, which, of course, is the work of a lifetime. Brothers and sisters, we are not to continue in rank sin year after year. It's completely contrary to the path of healing that Christ sets forth in his church to lack a substantial, actual, and somewhat challenging spiritual practice, to be laboring daily in prayer, which is our life, not some side activity, to be reading the Holy Gospel each day, which is to feed on Christ, so that we know what he commands us to do, and to be keeping the fasts, making prostrations, giving good confessions, and being faithful in attending the divine services. These are the basic practices which transform and heal. I hear sometimes, "Father, my faith is weak," or, "Father, I'm not finding victory over my passions." But how many of us are asking for penances, medicines to apply to our wounds? And when these are given, how many are actually faithfully doing them? Some of us are not even opening our hearts to our Creator in prayer each morning or each evening. So how can one ask such a soul then to increase their prayer in a certain manner for a certain time, to entreat Christ's mercy for certain maladies? There is a malady of spiritual laxity pervading the entire modern church. And I'm not standing before you as one who's not also guilty in my own ways. And I fear that we are not all here immune to it. Brothers and sisters, this is not the path toward salvation. This is cheap faith, cheap grace, cheap Christianity. And I'm here to say to you, with love, it won't save you. Christ has called each of us to walk in newness of life, to crucify the old man with his passions. This isn't something that's supposed to take 50 years. It takes a decisive change and then a commitment to putting the things of Christ first and walking in newness of life. A Christian life is one of sincere confessions, of putting filters on our computers, of pulling out any roots of bitterness from our hearts, or of judgment or judgmentalism, of putting the bottle down, of making a firm determination to let no unwholesome word out of our mouth, of curbing our tongue, and not just considering these things on Sundays, then immediately going back to our phones and stereos and screens and walking in oldness of life. The Holy Church bears every and all wisdom in perfect balance to heal and right our souls and to give us victory over every passion. It knows far more than you or I do about what we need to do in order to be healed, because it is full to the absolute brim with the holy wisdom of Him who made us, Jesus Christ. But rather than drink deeply from these blessed, stringent waters, rather than keep any of the fasts, rather than read a bit of the gospel each day, some of us want to keep our old patterns of life and to play church by attending services and participating in the life of the community. Forgive me, this is not what the church is or how it works. The church isn't first or primarily a nice community. Though, as we all know, it is that. It isn't first or primarily a place of beauty or serenity. It isn't first or primarily a place with great wise words from holy elders. First and foremost, the church is a house of repentance, a clinic for ailing souls, a path and a way which is narrow and hard, but which leads to life. Those who are approaching Jesus Christ in this way are finding and have found healing for themselves, for their families, for the networks of relationships in their lives, because such as these are opening the conduits, as St. Theophan calls them, for the actual grace of God to flow into themselves and into their families, and into the networks of relationships in their lives. The reason some of our hearts are not confirmed by grace in newness of life is because we like the idea of the Orthodox Christian faith, and we like ideas about our faith, but we don't and won't practice it in any significant manner. The ideas won't save you. Your conversations about your faith won't save you. What will save you is holy repentance, with tears and struggling with all our might to open and keep open our hearts to Jesus Christ, so that his energy and life actually enter and heal us. Unless a man gives blood, he cannot acquire the least virtue. Learn, brothers and sisters, what this holy statement means. Leave the sidelines of life, where people in the stands are chatting about holy sayings while slurping down hot dogs and sodas, and get on the field, where souls are being saved and are learning one after another what a precious and transformative experience this truth and this church holds. St. Paul begins today's epistle by saying, "I, the prisoner of the Lord," though in the version of the gospel we have here, that piece was omitted. But that's what it says just before the epistle we read. A prisoner. Do you hear that? Brothers and sisters, if you are not a prisoner, you are not free. If you are not practicing your faith day by day, you are not alive. The Orthodox Church is a practice-based faith, a practice-based way. In other words, it's a way, not an idea. Only by practicing day by day will we experience the Holy Spirit. For as St. Siloam says, God is not known by human learning, but by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is revealed and blesses only those who seek for him like a great treasure. And there is no shortcut. There's no other way. If you're not striving with the best you have, little by little even, to walk worthy of your calling, you're not moving toward salvation. As Father Seraphim Rose puts it, everything in this life passes away. Only God remains. Only he is worth struggling towards. We have a choice, he writes, to follow the way of this world, of the society that surrounds us, and thereby find ourselves outside of God, or to choose the way of life, to choose God. Close quote. May the first called apostle, whose whole life was changed, whose whole priorities were changed in a single day at the call of Christ, inspire us to be walking in newness of life, putting off the old man, that we too might be part with our Holy Father Andrew of the great work of the enlightening of the whole universe to the glory of God. Amen.